talk with you again, because a vision softly creeping left its scenes while I was sleeping. And the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone. Turn my collar to the cold and damp. When my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking. People hearing without listening. People writing songs and voices never shared. And no one dared disturb of silence. Fool said I, you do not know.
The simple step of a courageous individual is not to take part in the lie. One word of truth outweighs the world. Alexander Solzhenitsyn. As a not so new dissident, if I am ever arrested, I think I'll ask them to designate me as Prisoner 282 after the fashion of Solzhenitsyn. But any of us who resists these new age communists must maintain the greatest pressure possible upon them. As counterintuitive as it may be, and as ugly as it all looks, the soldiers, the barricades, the razor wire inside D.C., works to the advantage of those of us who love this country. Since the commies inside this newly formed armed camp will eventually burn through their emotional and political capital and begin to make bigger mistakes. And they've already begun the process. You see, they fear conservative America, and the longer they hide behind soldiers and barriers, the easier it becomes for us to become ungovernable. And so long as any government seeks to abrogate our Bill of Rights and our inalienable God-given rights, throw sand in the gears, undermine Joey and the commie overlords' rules, driving up their costs. Joey is Biden, of course. Driving up their costs, making them expend extra resources to compel compliance with their illegal, illegitimate, and unconstitutional rules. One simple act of defiance might be for one to post flyers reading that it's okay to be white in order to create a bit of chaos in their ranks. Just a few dollars investment and an hour of time will result in a week of commie rat bastards gnashing their teeth and pulling out their hair, while police waste an untold amount of resources on it. And just imagine the added furor and psychological impact on these anti-American commies if one adds the words, "and neither does Black Lives Matter," to a yard sign that reads, "Hate has no home here." In effect, mocking their own flawed sense of morality and their control over public attitudes. It is, my friends, activism with a very high return on investment. You see, we must engage in a daily rebellion against these anti-American rat bastards. Remind them that they are not in control as we deny them our virtues and the products of our labor by refusing to cooperate with any of their tyrannical diktats, even after they have expended resources to compel us to go against our righteous will and our conscience. Every American patriot, every one of you, must let them know that we are in a constant state of insurrection in every way imaginable. So long as they seek to end the founding of the Republic in favor of their Marxist authoritarian regime, make them fear us while they huddle behind their barriers, quaking over every little noise and in the knowledge that just may be that they are now right and their own guards can no longer be trusted. Turn their greedy, tyrannical grasp on power into their own prison of fear. Make them pay a high price for what they have done as we fight to restore this America that we love so well to everything she's ever been and oh so much more glorious, more exceptional than ever before. Good evening. Welcome to a Friday night installment of The Edge of Darkness. As always, I'm your commentator for the hour. Glad to have you here on this final Friday of the first month of this dastardly year. Before I continue, I want to guide you to something that I published just over an hour ago on Federal Observer. It came about because of a Skype text from my listener and longtime listener and friend, Gwen. Oh, her comment was Trump's late arrival really throws a wrench in the plan. Well, that's fine. That's not the title. The title of the article is Doest Thy Shitza Hit the Fan? I strongly urge each and every one of you to go review this column later tonight. And it will take you time. I have converted the entire column into a PDF. And it walks you through literally by video, by photograph, by Twitter comments, between and amongst the enemy. And their time clocks don't jive with the time clocks of the actual videos were being taken on January the 6th. You know, the day that the Capitol got invaded by we so-called patriots. That's the title. Doest Thy Shitza Hit the Fan? You will enjoy the image I've used as a header. It will set some records amazingly straight. Do that over the weekend. It will take you some time to read it and study it and look at the photographs carefully. Almost every time that a time clock is in question, it's all been circled on the video images. And then watch exactly what Trump was doing and where he was doing as he was speaking. The times don't jive, people. Let us move on. And just in case you've just joined us, and that's a private joke, there's something that no matter what we do in this life and in this world, when our time comes, we must leave this world with a clear conscience. Some months ago, I shared with you a relationship I'd had with an amazing human being. how he found me after many years of our not being in contact. We lost touch with each other. Didn't know where to find each other. And he got married and he had a kid. And on an Easter morning, I got an unusual phone call. And it turned out to be this friend of mine. We had quite a history. And we would drop in and out of each other's lives, but we always stayed fairly close with email, etc. Well, he and I had a disagreement some months ago. You remember when that thing took place with Kyle Rittenhouse up in Kenosha? And my friend and I had a real issue. Because he said he had driven through Kenosha that weekend and all looked peaceful and calm. I said, then you were driving through part of the neighborhood that wasn't so peaceful and calm, because there's videos all over the place of what was taking place. He unfriended me as a Facebook friend, and we've not spoken since. I came across something online the other day that I decided to send him because it had to do with the town that he grew up in Highland Park, Illinois. Well, during all this time and before the Rittenhouse event, he had some major heart surgery and, in fact, had died. And they revived him. And he looks like hell. His health has gone downhill badly. A marvelous, well-educated human being. But he unfriended me, and that's as far as it went. And it bothered me for several days, big time. And I sent him this email 2 days ago with this link about this house in Highland Park that had been fully restored. It's a gorgeous place. And I got the most foul email back from him. Literally about what a low-life effing human being I was, et cetera, et cetera. I had allegedly made some statement on Facebook that was anti-Semitic, et cetera, et cetera. And friends of his had told him about it and blah, blah, blah. But instead of approaching me, a friend of 60 years, he listened to all that they had to say. Never even went to look at it. And basically said it's the last email he will ever answer to me. So needless to say, last night I did not have a good night's sleep. Very rough one. And yet I've given much thought and consideration to all of this. Now those words I just shared with you moments ago about leave this world with a clear conscience. And I shall do that. Words that were shared with us so many years ago, my friends, that you and I have a rendezvous with destiny. And we'll preserve for our children this, the last best hope of man on earth. Or we'll sentence them to take the last step into 1,000 years of darkness. For if we fail, at least let our children and our children's children say of us that we justified our brief moment here. We did all that could be done. Those words were issued by President Ronald Reagan. My friends, Americans cannot yet say that they have done all that could be done. For in a moral, sane, and logical country, there isn't any way the Democratic Party lunatics and a multitude of communists should now have control over the United States' reins of power. And yet, however, today we see these red, radical demon craps moving to implement a system through an emerging cooperation between corporations and this rising socialist government that controls and cancels conservatives, Christians, deplorables, and Trump supporters en masse, all while seeking to implement a sort of social credit system that intends to make America more closely resemble totalitarian communist China. And before we fail our children any further, Now, more than ever, those of us who love this country must resist and fight harder than ever to prevent the sun from setting on the freedom and the liberty that, well, at least that we think we've had. And so a soft sort of fascism has always been present within our government and institutions since the days of President Woodrow Wilson. But now, emboldened by the lack of any counters against the communist-backed Antifa and Black Lives Matter, Joe Biden and the socialists and the communists of the Democratic Party are merging government and corporations in this massive cooperative effort that is also implementing this hardcore style of fascism, all aimed at destroying any and all who fail to fall completely in line with their dystopian view of America and the solutions they believe to be necessary, flawed as they all are, of course. You see, all most Americans have ever really wanted was for the government to leave us the hell alone. Let us live our lives. Well, at least the Americans that are worth a damn. The communists of America are rejoicing, even as a few thousand Antifa continue to riot and burn and loot and destroy in Portland and Seattle, Denver, and elsewhere across this nation. And every single government agency and bureaucratic institution is currently being further weaponized and politicized by Joey, not my President Biden, the imposter, all for the purposes of exerting an extreme control in public education, the media, and our workplaces in a manner that will go after conservative America without one hint of mercy. Take, for example, John Brennan, a CIA killer and a liar, openly tweets about the necessity for re-education camps for conservatives and Trump followers. At the same time, America hears major media outlets crying out for a cleansing of the Make America Great Again movement. If anything good came from Trump's term, he actually served as a useful conduit that laid bare just how corrupt the D.C. establishment really is. He revealed the U.S. government's manipulation by corporations that left the ordinary American without any real representation, along with exposing an utterly corrupt judiciary where even the President of the United States cannot get a fair hearing. And he's been out of office for a little over a week now, and he's still not getting a fair hearing. They're still moving forward with another impeachment. Then, of course, if nothing else, Trump's term exposed the fact that the two-party paradigm is one huge, monstrous lie. You see, the curtain was completely slashed away from the illusion of freedom recently with the unconscionable, dastardly squashing and removal of the free speech social media site Parler in recent days through a coordinated effort from the big tech oligarchy of Apple, Amazon, Twitter, Google, and Facebook, because Parler was giving them a hard run for their money. And although this was a clear example of antitrust collusion, these immoral tyrants understood they had the nod to do whatever they damn well pleased, since all had suppressed Hunter Biden's criminal activities regarding China, and Zuckerberg had handed Democrats $400 million in swing states just to ensure a Biden victory. Zuckerberg. That pussified little bastard. And so now we have millions of conservative and Christian Americans have been banned from the various big tech social media sites during this election season. America even witnessed a sitting U.S. president, forced to bear a historical first and the censorship of the president. Freedom of speech, my friends, no longer exists on these fascist websites. And the Democratic Party leadership, arrogant as always, and full of themselves and their arrogance, are now also calling for an end to free speech in America, at least an end for conservative free speech. First, then we've got the lovely Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who wants to create a media literacy initiative whereby the Democratic-controlled Congress, under the guise of Speaker Pelosi, would determine what Americans are allowed to say. You must think of this in terms of European Union-style hate speech laws on the horizon. Hear, watch, and think. Or is it queers, watch, and drink? I'm not sure. It is, my friends, Orwellian by nature to hear Ocasio-Cortez propose what amounts to a ministry of truth that would target anyone who spreads misinformation, with the Democratic Party communists getting to say what or what isn't true. Even if that means calling a barefaced lie that supports their communist agenda the truth, as they would silence everyone else. Who's going to head this committee to find and identify the truth? Adam Schiff? What about Eric Swalwell? Both of these Democrats have been exposed as the worst sort of liars and traitors to America during their congressional terms. Schiff is one of the most dishonest, militaristic, and authoritarian members of Congress, has also had a bill proposal in play for over a year to expand the Patriot Act mechanisms for use against domestic terrorists in America. Well, one only has to think of the name Schiff. We're not trying to compare him with Irwin Schiff. No, there is another Schiff in our history who had an awful lot to do with the controlling of our economic structure well over 100 years ago. You can do a little bit of study and investigation on it. I think he's a distant uncle or a grandfather or something of that nature. Schiff. Just another smarmy little piece of work. Let us for a moment attempt to share with you where we believe all of this is headed. The Democratic Party, their sponsored violence of Antifa and Black Lives Matter that has raged and destroyed American cities everywhere from months back to this very day, is called their free speech right and peaceful protest, by Democrats, of course. While the most peaceful one-day January 6th rally for Donald Trump to fight against a stolen election was called an insurrection because many Antifa provocateurs and actual insurrectionists initially wreaked havoc inside the Capitol, and a few Trump supporters unfortunately followed, which gave the Democrats cannon fodder to use against all of us. So shortly after January 6th, speaking on MSNBC, Jeremy Bush, chief of staff for the CIA under Obama, demanded that we reset our entire intelligence approach, including looking at greater surveillance of them. Them meaning Christians, conservatives, deplorables, the MAGA crowd. And Bush went on, or Bash, I'm sorry, Jeremy Bash, my eyes are going. Bash, Bush, whatever. He goes out and says that the FBI is going to have to run confidential sources. Yeah, we know what kind of work the FBI has been doing lately now, don't we? Even worse, we're also seeing a hard push to turn the Patriot Act into a one-shoe-fits-all solutions to domestic terrorism, as the designation of a domestic terrorist is redefined under Commie Joe to mean only the conservatives, the Christians, the independents, the other deplorables who oppose him and his total restructuring of the government structure away from the founding principles and under a command control from a massive centralized government. There's only one problem with that statement. It ain't Joe that's running the show. I saw a report yesterday from a medical professional who has known Biden for years. It claims that he's basically been incapacitated by as much as 60%. That's how fast Biden's going down. He's not going to remain there for long. They will be treated as a robot. He will be told what to sign and when to sign it. All of this, my friends, follows numerous accusations of sedition, treason, and terrorism against sitting members of Congress and hundreds of U.S. citizens, driven by a radical expansion of the definition of, quote, incitement to violence, end quote. Don't we already have enough aggressive criminal laws that cover any and all criminal acts? Just what else needs to be criminalized under an expansion of the Patriot Act and a new set of domestic terrorism laws that are not already considered a criminal act? More than an act to stop any real crime, their actual intent is to criminalize those principles that heretofore have been protected under our Bill of Rights. All for the purposes of more effectively suppressing speech, association, freedom of assembly, dissent, opposition to their emerging authoritarian Marxist Maoist regime. You think I'm kidding with this stuff, people? It's happening before your very eyes right this minute as we speak and we sit here together tonight. And the left-stream media zooms their cameras in to focus on the mummy reading a teleprompter. President Joey. America hears his angry, ominous words. And shortly after January 6th says, don't dare call them protesters. They were a riotous mob. Insurrectionists, domestic terrorists. And now Americans find themselves deep into a hardcore class warfare, largely directed at whipping out America's middle class with the big tech and the Democratic Party radicals in full control. My friends, the path ahead is filled with danger and even more chaos, as the remains of the Republic are disposed of by people who are preparing to engage in a ruthless purge and an extended crackdown, blanket surveillance, and the smashing of our civil liberties and our Bill of Rights as they employ the mechanisms found in their cancel culture doctrine. And so with an ideology set in stone, guised as fundamental progressivism, the communists have the big tech oligarchy establishing the Marx-Mao ideology as a new religion. No. With all its orthodoxies and rituals and harsh penalties for all who oppose the faith strictures and its psychopathic narratives. Oh, let's not forget the commie mobs, because they're now interfering in every aspect of our daily lives, silencing, battering, ruining the heretics and the blasphemers. And now corporations and companies, emboldened by the Democrats and their political victories, are ruining people's lives. They refuse to give them jobs. They fire them from career positions, withhold credit. Any assorted method that one may imagine to prevent conservatives from stopping their agenda. and all who stand against the communist agenda, this new anti-American, anti-God religion, conservative, independent, and all others alike must stand firm and strong together on all fronts and all public arenas, or we will be the new members of an American gulag. First, they come for the President of the United States, and then they come for the rest of us, those who are not aligned with Zapati. Anyone in the country refusing to follow big tech's feudalistic dictate will face re-education camps and cancellations, and one sort or another, perhaps even to eventually become the ultimate cancellation as witnessed in the old Soviet Union, when men and women were disappeared, never to be heard from again. And to many other so-called conservatives, those such as the duplicitous Senator Bitch McConnell, Representative Liz Cheney, they still act as if they're dealing with Democratic representatives and senators who actually still uphold the Constitution. They are each and every one honorable men and women, even though they know better. And all of this makes them complicit for whatever the reason. Whether it's ploy or appeasement, or ploy or of appeasement, or a knowing complicity in the subversion of the Constitution and the Republic and the American people's inalienable rights. Their choices of appeasement and compromise leave us no real choice between peace and war, and rather pushes us to decide between fight or surrender. Which are you going to do? Because if you're not prepared to fight, to stand up for what is right, to stand up and fight for fellow Americans, what this nation was, used to be, should be again, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. Unless we're willing to stand together and combat this and fight it, there's going to be no America. And too many other Americans are nothing but complacent and apathetic and do-nothing cowards who go along to get along without or with whoever is in power on any given day. Ignorant fools hold to a belief beyond foreign and ugly to me as so many patriots, all of which makes them plead for peace at any price, as though they admit they'd rather be red than dead. These are the cowards, that they would rather live upon their knees than die on their feet as free men and women. And therein, my friends, lies the road to the next civil war. Because those voices don't speak for me and mine and so many other good and decent Americans. The problem is we are in the form of a civil war as it is. Except for one thing, and I've stated this many, many times over the years, no war was ever civil. And you better get that through your head now. So many of my brethren, my fellow countrymen, reject such cowardice. But we do not believe that life is so dear and peace so sweet that it must come at the price of chains and slavery. If nothing in life moves us to recognize something bigger than ourselves worth dying for, at what juncture in history did all of this begin? Just recently, in the face of these Democratic Party enemies from within? Or should Moses have told the children of Israel to live in slavery under the pharaohs? If you believe that there's a compromise to be found with this new communist-run Democratic Party, that who demands a fundamental transformation of our very founding, and in essence its ultimate destruction, that you are blind to the reality of our situation. And this situation has become even more dire over the decades. that so many within the Republican Party are Republicans in name only. And just as likely to go along with the Marxist as they are to stick with their party's block. And so short of an all-out physical civil war, if one opposes what the Democrats are doing, at the very least, stop doing business with any corporation that advocates and supports their agenda. Withhold taxes if you're able to do so. Find a way to do so. But then, hell, with nobody working, you ain't going to be paying no taxes, Jack. Oh, is that right? Well, I got an interesting piece of mail today. Well, about 2 hours ago it showed up. It's from Southwest Rapid Rewards. Southwest Rapid Rewards. That's my Chase credit card company, who's announced that beginning on April the 2nd, the APR is going to jump to 29.99% on that credit card. Are you out of your mind? Well, that sucker's going to get paid off, and I'll be canceling that card. 30% annual percentage rate on that card. There ain't going to be no money left because people are going to be using their cards, and they know it, and they're preparing for it. It's pure insanity. Withhold taxes? Nobody's going to have been making any money to even pay the taxes. Maybe we form a parallel economy that caters only to conservatives, with only dependable conservative wholesalers and supply chains and manufacturing bases to ensure a predictable, stable economy within this failing one. Except that we would make it available for all participants. Essentially, if one is not keen on resorting to a violent defense of one's liberty, simply pull a John Galt and hurt the Democrats' purse. Stop beating the takers with the hard-earned products of the producers. And let these red, radical commies either produce something themselves or starve to death. You think I give a damn? I don't. Americans who want to leave this world with a clear conscience and the knowledge that they truly did do all that could be done to preserve freedom and liberty for America's children and their children's children must fight these red, radical, commie bastards in the legislative and judicial halls at the local and state levels, in Congress itself. Whenever possible, we must face them as occupiers, since that is how they present themselves, as conquerors, rather than government servants in service to all Americans, who continue to roll out their pacification plans as we speak. And we must meet them in the streets wherever and whenever they come to burn and destroy, as we also refuse to submit to any illegal dictate, refuse to comply with any illegitimate, unconstitutional order, nullify, reject their anti-American, anti-God agenda, and yes, even pick up a rifle should that final act be forced upon us in order that we may finish our lives here on earth as free men and women. Don't allow these communist Democrats to dispossess us and our descendants of their birthright to an America founded on Judeo-Christian and Western principles. Don't let them suppress our inalienable God-given rights in any manner that they deem necessary. Don't let them destroy the founding just because they have stolen the keys to the kingdom and sing a death chant for its passing, as they believe they're already dancing on the ghost of America. Instead, my friends, the time has come to exact the price from them and send them on a fast path to hell. In simple terms, it's time to choose. And no matter the outcome, we know that we will have done what was necessary. We've stood up to defend our nation, our God, our lives, our families. And no matter the outcome, be prepared to leave this world with a clear conscience. Think about these things. The copy I've shared with you tonight was submitted to me for publication on the 26th of this month. 2 days later, another piece was submitted to me by the same writer. I teasingly refer to him in writing as just in case. In other words, just in case you don't get it. We're going to take a brief break. We'll be right back. Maybe this piece of music should be the break, Michael. Think about that.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet, they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
Interesting. I have stated for quite some time that my producer, Michael, seems to know how to read me very well. Chooses the right piece of music for the right mood, the right content that we're sharing. Tonight was interesting. Michael said to me in our mutual text that this piece was another random selection by the computer programming. My comment to him was, the computer seems to be able to read me. I received a text during that commentary, and it started by saying, I'm posting while you're on the air. He says, I always seem to be cooking while your program is on. Wednesday and Thursday, great medical shows. By the way, he's a doctor. He says, tonight a couple of the kids are home this weekend. They're listening to the program while I make dinner. I want them to hear this one tonight. Be well. I'll be in touch. It is not uncommon for me to receive texts while I'm on the air. Most of the time I've got it right there. I'm able to see what's going on. Don't ask me how I can do a multitude of things at the same time. It's something I've been blessed with or maybe damned with. I'm not quite sure. The interesting thing about this presentation tonight, and I know that our author, Justin Smith, is out listening tonight, is unbeknownst to him beforehand, as I took my opening comments were based on an article of his that I posted the other night entitled The Antitheses of the Beacon of Liberty, America's New Realm of Tyranny. It could be read on federalobserver.com. And so my opening introduction to the program tonight was his reference to Alexander Solzhenitsyn. And if you recall, he made reference to Prisoner 282, Justin Smith did. That was Alexander Solzhenitsyn's prisoner number. I've seen photographs of it with his number properly displayed on his uniform. It is quite a read unto itself. And when he and I spoke and I told him it was my intent to make his work the basis for this program tonight, he asked which of the two that I was planning on doing, and I said probably the early one, because it says so much and it hits so hard, and it's such a challenge to each and every one of us, not just you, the listener, but to those of us on the other side of the microphone, or for some of us, maybe not all of us. I'm not picking at anyone. That's not my point. When I talk about being on this side of the microphone, it doesn't necessarily have to do with this network or any other particular network. I have no particular individual in mind, but I know that there are some mouthpieces out there that don't mean a damn thing about what they're talking about. It's a dog and pony show. I've stated to you in the past that I refer to this program as exactly that, a program. It's not a show. A show is something you sell popcorn to for entertainment. If that's all I'm doing is entertaining you, then turn it off, because that's not the reason I'm here. It's to challenge you, to make you think outside the box that the mainstream media is trying to get us to fall for, what these demon craps and the Republic rats are trying to get us to fall for and fall in line with. It's frustrating. Very frustrating. As I stated to you, to use Justin's title of his other article, which is posted. Prepare yourself. Be ready. No matter the outcome, no matter how we must conduct ourselves in this battle to save that which so many of us have fought for or believed we fought for. You heard me state quite often lately, I was more at peace in 21 months in Vietnam with people shooting at me than I am living in this country going through the crap we're going through today. Is that offensive to some of you? It's interesting. I met a man today at lunch who also served. He and I are about the same age. We shared much in common. We ain't playing a game. I may be old. I may not be able to pull that gun out of the holster fast enough. But I'm going to do it. And somebody's going to pay. We've got to start thinking that way. I'm not suggesting you go out and just start shooting people just for the fun of it. Be prepared. Get yourself ready. And when that time comes, be prepared to leave this world with that clear conscience. Know that you've done the right thing for the right people and for the right reasons. God only knows. But that's the only way to leave. Now, very quickly, before we cut out of here, which will be very shortly. I posted something today at Federal Observer. I strongly urge you look at. It's less of a read than it is a menu. It's entitled Everything to Do with Your Life. Subtitle, Preparing for the Worst of Times. It's an interesting piece that came to me via email from one of our listeners, and I decided to publish it. In some respects, it has to do with prepping. And I've gone ahead and I've given full credit to exactly where it came from. 50 top items to look for at thrift stores and yard sales, etc., that you might want to seriously start looking at making sure you've got so that you can eat and sleep and protect yourselves and do the things that have to be done. Image. Don't know what that means. Oh, somebody sent me something. Okay. It's an interesting piece. And because of it, I had a brief discussion with my former webmaster today, who also happens to be an avid prepper. And we're going to be doing some work together to open up a category to begin sharing some of his work, things that I was involved with him 15 years ago. I used to be a guest on his program quite often. I'm not concerned about putting my stuff out there. I'm concerned about putting his stuff out there for all of you to share and to read from and to learn from. The time may be past due, but I'm not ready to give up. I'll keep doing what I have to do. After all, I got a family here. The wife and I are getting old, but that doesn't mean I'm going to stop. Like hell I will. Let's hope we've all got the time. Thanks for sharing yours with me tonight. All right, take care of yourselves. We'll, Lord willing, see you on Monday. Be blessed, and good night. Do you think we have time beside the days of the open hand? We will not be the last. Look around now. These are the days of the beggars and the choosers. This is the year of the hungry man, whose place is in the past, hand in hand with ignorance and legitimate excuses. The rich declare themselves poor, and most of us are not sure
If we have it too much, but we're taking our chances, say. I sang 20 years and a day, but nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flame. It's hard to love, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope when there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time. Charity, charity is the coat you wear twice a year. Yeah, this is the year of the guilty man. Your television takes a stand, and you find that what was over there is over here. So you scream from behind your door, say what's mine is mine and not yours. I may have too much, but I'll take my chances, say. I sang it 20 years and a day, there's nothing changed. The human race found some other guy and walked into the flames. It's hard to love, Jesus, there's so much to hate. Hanging on to hope, there is no hope to speak out. In the wounded skies above, say it's much too late. Then maybe we should all be praying for time.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.